Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk, and maybe after all that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way. Thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all your reoccurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something's coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting your time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple app or Google Play stores. You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. You still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the smart savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple app or Google Play stores.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
We welcome you to Football Full Circle. That is FFC live right here on Sports Grid Radio and Sirius XM Channel 159. He is the mastermind of the pigskin. That is Joe Lisi. I am Ben Stevens. We are early in the offseason, but the moves continue to happen all around the National Football League. We'll talk about the drama and still the outstanding quarterback carousel. What are the Steelers waiting for? Or is it Aaron Rodgers who is waiting on them? A lot to break down here over this hour up until 1 p.m. Eastern, with some new betting markets available in the National Football League, including those divisional championship odds for 2025's NFL campaign. A lot to get to here, Lisi Guy, in this hour on FFC.
Yeah, and we're seeing a lot of discussion as well in regards to the NFL draft, which will take place late April 24th and 25th. A lot of expectation that Cam Ward will be the number one quarterback off the board. More media hype and feedbacks around Shedeur Sanders. Mel Kiper put out his draft class and his draft mock list this past week. So this is what it's all about. You're going to start to see some movement as it relates to the NFL draft odds, the conference title odds. And to your point about the Pittsburgh Steelers, Ben, I brought this up yesterday. It just looks like they're an organization hoping that Aaron Rodgers saves them from potentially a disaster, because they do not seem to have a contingency plan in place. They don't seem to have one, obviously, since they drafted Kenny Pickett a few years ago to solidify their quarterback position, hoping that these veterans that they have signed over the past couple of seasons potentially save them from purgatory. And I just can't believe that Mike Tomlin, a winning coach and an organization that has won multiple Super Bowls, went into the 2025 season basically on a hope and a prayer.
It is really what seems to be the quarterback situation for the Steelers, especially with the situation surrounding Aaron Rodgers. So let's start there, Lisi Guy. We'll talk some NFL draft later in the show and some college football as well a little bit later on here on FFC. Cam Hayward, one of the staples of this Steelers organization the last decade plus, one of the great defensive linemen we have seen in the last 5 to 10 years around the NFL, on his Not Just Football podcast that came out on this Tuesday, basically said he's tired of all the quarterback conjecture around the Steelers, and he's not going to great lengths to recruit Aaron Rodgers. Quote, I ain't doing that darkness retreat. I don't need any of that crap. Either you want to be a Pittsburgh Steeler or you don't. It's that simple. That's the pitch. If you want me to recruit, that's the recruiting pitch. Pittsburgh Steelers, if you want to be a part of it, so be it. If you don't, no skin off my back. So it seems, Joe, not just that Cameron Hayward might be a little bit upset with Aaron Rodgers diddling his toes at this moment, but also just the Steelers, like you said, not really having that strong early offseason plan to address the quarterback situation.
Yeah, and I think Cam Hayward's exactly right. I'm shocked that more organizations haven't had that type of approach in terms of Aaron Rodgers, but they're so desperate to have a starting quarterback this season and even last season with the New York Jets that you put up with the circus that is Aaron Rodgers on and off the field. So, again, I agree with Cam Hayward. Either you want to be a Steeler or you don't, but yeah. Still, this team can't go into the regular season with just Mason Rudolph as the only option. I mean, if you're Pittsburgh, I would have did everything I could to potentially keep Justin Fields, throw even more money at him if that was the contingency plan. It doesn't make sense that, okay, we have DK, we have George Pickens, yep. We let Najee walk out the door, but we still have good running back talent. Now we're going to hope on basically a journeyman quarterback to save us and potentially challenge the likes of the best quarterback in the AFC or one of in terms of the top two, maybe with Lamar Jackson and Joe Burrow. Just doesn't make any sense, Ben.
And Joe, what made it all that more fascinating with the trade for DK Metcalf from Seattle was the idea that, sure, the Steelers had some pieces on the outside with the addition of DK Metcalf now, of course, opposite George Pickens. You bring back Jaylen Warren, you add Kenneth Gainwell. All that's fine and dandy. You still don't have the guy distributing the football offensively. Even DK Metcalf, when he was brought to Pittsburgh at his introductory press conference, said, quote, this is a historic organization. They've done the recruiting before I even got here, so whoever wants to come here and try to win as many games as we can, they can join us. But if not, good luck on the other side. And that's the guy that is directly going to be on the receiving end of whoever that quarterback is going to be. And Joe, already, right? If Aaron Rodgers wanted to change his tune, if Aaron Rodgers at the age of 41, completing 20 NFL seasons, was just about business, was just about football, and he still wanted to play moving forward past his second decade into the National Football League, you would have thought he would understand. Maybe I'll save the drama for another time. Maybe like Sam Darnold, maybe like Kenny Pickett, maybe like even, heck, Mason Rudolph, I will sign my deal right away in free agency. I was released. I can sign as early as possible. I will make it known. Here Aaron Rodgers sits once again, figuring out his future and kind of holding up the NFL at this moment.
Yeah, and again, you know, we talk about Aaron Rodgers. You know, either you want to be a part of a winning organization or you don't. The whole criticism around Green Bay was that he was surrounded by young guys that didn't have their eye on the prize. But Aaron Rodgers didn't do anything to elevate their play. He didn't take extra time working with the young wide receivers and really forced his way out of Green Bay. He goes to the New York Jets. They underachieved during his tenure there. He gets hurt. He's coming off a major injury and only starts to put up numbers after the fact. I mean, this is a team last year that at least had great locker room continuity with Justin Fields and Russell Wilson. Love them or hate them both, they were both team guys for the most part. And now you're going to bring in a cancer to that organization and hope that he could elevate your team to an AFC championship just because. And that doesn't work anymore. He's definitely not the same quarterback that he was 4 or 5 seasons ago, and he's going to need a lot more to get them over the hump.
2 years ago, right at this time, Aaron Rodgers emerged out of the darkness to tell us he wanted to play for the New York Jets. But he was not a free agent, as Lisi just laid out right there. The Packers had to trade him. That took some time to formulate a deal for both sides that benefited both clubs. Aaron Rodgers does not have to wait for a trade. Aaron Rodgers right now could say, I want to play here. I am signing a deal here. And Joe, when he held up the NFL in the offseason drama back in 2023, this was still a guy that just 2 years prior had won back-to-back MVP awards. He had one of the worst years of his career in 2023, of course, was injured with an Achilles rupture in 2024, and was rather mediocre in 2024. Lisey, there is no way that Aaron Rodgers is moving the needle enough that he should be commanding this kind of respect, except for what he has done in his NFL career. Of course, there is some thought. Would he follow the Brett Favre path and make his way to Minnesota? It's J.J. McCarthy's show. Would he be a veteran backup to try to provide that experience? Who knows? The Vikings haven't necessarily said we're not interested, or at least that has not been reported as of this moment, more so that they're invested in developing J.J. McCarthy than any other veteran option at that starting quarterback role. And Lisey, we'll talk about the division odds on the other side of the break, but this all goes back to say, Aaron Rodgers is not a needle mover. If the Steelers added him, it does not make them a conference contender in the AFC.
Yeah, he's not better than Josh Allen. He's not better than Lamar Jackson. He's not better than Joe Burrow. He's certainly not better than Pat Mahomes. There's four of the top five, you know, four top teams in terms of the AFC, right? Is he better than Tua? I don't know. When Tua's on, he puts up better numbers than Aaron Rodgers does. We could go through the whole list. I mean, I don't even think he's better than Justin Fields at this point in his career.
Yeah, so we'll continue to discuss on the other side of the break, not just Aaron Rodgers, but what it means for the AFC, what it means for the outlook division by division and around the conference with new divisional title odds out on the FanDuel Sportsbook. That's next on Football Full Circle.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
Live right here on Football Full Circle, a new market alert out there around the National Football League early in the offseason. We've seen Super Bowl 60 prices for 2025 for quite some time. We've seen some conference title odds as well. Now we dive even one step deeper. Divisional odds available for all eight divisions in either conference around the National Football League. Lisa, let's start in the AFC. And of course, our focus to begin today's show was on the AFC North and the quarterback situation for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Pittsburgh checks in with the third best price out of 14 teams to win that division at 7-1. But the Baltimore Ravens, a hefty favorite at -140. And the Bengals, a much shorter price than that of Pittsburgh as well, at +210. The Browns bring up the rear, longest number of the four, at 17-1. The Ravens, Lisa Guy, have won the AFC North now two consecutive seasons. How do you view this division entering 2025?
I mean, I would take a shot on the Bengals. I really would. You know, now that T. Higgins and Jamar Chase are signed, they're making an effort, it seems like, to sign Trey Hendrickson. To me, that doesn't matter as long as the big three are there on the offensive side of the ball. I'm going to bet that Cincinnati doesn't start 0-2 again and that they get out of the gate a little bit faster than they have in previous seasons, and then it's game on. I think it's Joe Burrow, Jamar Chase, and T. Higgins. And when they're on and they're, you know, hitting on all cylinders, they could go toe-to-toe with any team, including the Kansas City Chiefs in the AFC. So for me, early on, I would take a shot on the Bengals to rebound in 2025.
So, Lisey, I wasn't here yesterday, of course, but the big news late on Sunday night was the long-term extensions and the big deals for both Jamar Chase and T. Higgins. What was your reaction to Cincinnati actually coming through and paying Jamar Chase, now the highest paid non-quarterback in NFL history, and T. Higgins, highest paid wide receiver two we have ever seen in the NFL as well?
I think it's great. And I think the fact that we're still in March and these players are signed and now they can look forward to the 25 campaign, I think that's the biggest thing and biggest positivity in terms of momentum that you could have for Zach Taylor and that organization as a whole. And not only that, it's not just T. Higgins, because Scott and I talked about it, and Scott said I wouldn't have paid T. Higgins, and I understand the sentiment. Right. You want to get Chase. You could maybe have gotten another player to mimic the type of productivity of T. Higgins, or at least come close for maybe a little bit cheaper or not as much in terms of the dollar perspective. But this is more about keeping Joe Burrow happy as well. He's got his two big plays. They got the quarterback to wide receiver relationship down. You don't want to disrupt that timing of potentially the most explosive offense in the NFL. So I think it's great. Now you look at Trey Hendrickson, you make an assessment on that, and now you see what you could do in terms of the draft and some other free agent signings to potentially get depth at other positions. That's what you want. I mean, if we're talking right now in the AFC North, Ben, as explosive and as dynamic as Lamar Jackson and Baltimore were points-wise, right? I still think the passing game is much more consistent with Joe Burrow than it is with Lamar Jackson. I'm putting more money on Joe Burrow and Cincinnati's passing attack than I am Baltimore and those, you know, group of wideouts that they have there, Bateman and obviously, Flowers from Baltimore.
And where things stand right now, Joe, in Cincinnati, that passing attack is going to have to be lethal. They're going to have to put up 5-6 touchdowns a game, it would seem, to win. That's the issue for Cincy. We'll see what they do with Trey Hendrickson, who they have not dealt just yet, although he has been given permission to seek out trades. Are they going to pay him as they did back up their word and eventually pay T. Higgins and Jamar Chase? I would say I don't have an issue with either guy being paid. They are certainly worth it. I still do believe, although Cincinnati finally came through, they have not done their organization any favors. They could have had this financial flexibility last offseason, 2 years ago, paying T. Higgins, paying Trey Hendrickson, and last year, Joe, making Jamar Chase the highest paid non-quarterback ever before Justin Jefferson reset the market. Then Max Crosby upped him by one, and then Myles Garrett got the $40 million a year only for the Bengals to play catch-up. But a +210 price on Cincy to win the AFC North. Joe, our other three divisional favorites around the AFC, Buffalo in the AFC East, -220. AFC South, it's the Texans at +140, and the Chiefs at -150. Every divisional favorite around the AFC has at least won their divisional crown each of the past two seasons, and for Buffalo and KC, a much longer win streak than that. The Bills have won the AFC East 5 consecutive years. The Chiefs have won the AFC West 9 straight seasons.
Yeah, they have. And again, you know, the Chiefs are the team to beat. I mean, the Chiefs, for me, are the team in the AFC. Until you knock them off, I can't bet against them. I mean, early on, right? You know, first month of the season, you want to take a shot depending upon how these teams start. Yeah, then you can take a shot. I want to bet on Josh Allen and Buffalo as a whole to potentially upseat them and upset them, right? But I can't do it right now. I mean, right now it's the Chiefs or a bust. We saw them re-sign Kareem Hunt. We saw them potentially make some defensive moves that could help solidify them. We know Rashee Rice is coming back from a major injury. You couple him with a burner and Xavier Worthy that came on. I mean, Ben, I mean, the only team, so it's the Chiefs and everybody else right now. Which one has the value from the AFC, right? I think Cincinnati, because of the price. I think some other teams, again, depending upon where Buffalo goes in the draft, if they get another big playmaker based off, you know, the draft, a wide receiver to couple with Josh Palmer, I'm willing to take that shot. I can't buy into the Chargers right now. I want to. I think they're an upstart team. But outside of Ladd McConkey, I can't bet on Quentin Johnston to be the guy in 2025 when he drops half of his passes. So until we see these free agent moves, an NFL draft, it's the Chiefs and everyone else at this point.
You know what's fascinating, Joe, and I think you bring up a great point about Kansas City. One of the crazy things for the Chiefs, yes, they will enter 2025 not as the reigning Super Bowl champs for the first time since entering the 2023 NFL season, but they're still the reigning champs around the AFC, and they are still the reigning champs for 9 straight years in the AFC West, and they're a minus money favorite. But last year, it was closer to -250. Now it's -150. We'll talk about those strong favorites around the AFC divisions next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
Live right here on Football Full Circle. It is FFC. That's the mastermind of the pigskin, Joe Lisi. I am Ben Stevens. Lisa Guy, the hefty favorites around the AFC with the divisional odds now out. The Buffalo Bills, who have won the AFC East 5 straight years, a minus 220 favorite. And the Kansas City Chiefs, who have won the AFC West divisional crown 9 years in a row, a minus 150 favorite. But Joe, as I said right before the break, I almost think KC is being undervalued. How could minus 150 be undervalued? Well, one, they have won the AFC West 9 straight seasons now. But last year, taking that into account, they were closer to minus 250. Well, the division around them has gotten better year over year. The Chargers were an 11-win football team, made the playoffs. The Broncos were a double-digit win football team, made the playoffs. And you would only expect year-over-year improvement for both the Bolts and the Broncos once again. But I'm almost surprised, Joe, that until KC is unseated atop their perch in the AFC West, that another team would be even that close, or KC would not be at least minus 2 Bills or greater.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough. I mean, KC, I mean, you think about it, right? I mean, LA, you would think would be the next team like to really close the gap. But again, they have so many question marks regarding their offense. And even though they made it to the playoffs and over exceeded expectations, who are they going to get in order to challenge the Kansas City Chiefs? You know, they need better playmakers. And, you know, one of their wide receivers is out the door in terms of Josh Palmer. Ladd McConkey was a great addition, but is Disley an above-average tight end? I don't think so. The running backs, you know, with Najee Harris now, good. Is it elite? We'll see if Najee could channel what he had in terms of Tuscaloosa. Right. They're just a middle. Again, they could show glimpses of success. But look at some of the games that they played down the stretch. They get abused by Tampa Bay, get blown out in their building. They get abused in the second half by Houston in the playoff loss. That's the problem, I think, when I look at big picture for the L.A. Chargers. And then, you know, with Denver, we're just hoping that Sean Payton found lightning in a bottle with Bo Nix. Maybe he did. But you're telling me there's going to be no regression with that team whatsoever? They're just going to, you know, pick up and get back to the playoffs? It's possible. But I'd bet against it. I mean, the one constant that we know time and time again is Pat Mahomes. And now, hopefully, with the emergence of Xavier Worthy, and now with Rasheed Rice, hopefully even at 85 to 90%, they're going to be there. They're going to be a 12 to 13 win football team yet again. And that's good enough, in my opinion, to win the West.
Every year that Patrick Mahomes, Joe, has been the starter, they have won the AFC West. Every year, even beyond that, for 9 straight, they have won the division. Every year Mahomes has been the starter, they have also won at least 11 games, 12 plus in 6 of those 7 seasons. I don't really see that changing. And you're right, close the gap. Because when the Chargers and the Broncos make the postseason, have they made the moves this time around to get better? I think the Broncos have made some nice defensive moves. The acquisition of Dre Greenlaw. But that gap, even as the odds makers will tell you, is much wider between KC and Denver than the one between KC and LA. The Broncos at 5-1 that win the AFC West. The Chargers at plus 330. I believe in Jim Harbaugh. He's an organizational builder from the very jump. But Joe, what's the biggest issue plaguing the Chargers right now? Wide receiver help, right? To make sure that Justin Herbert has all the pieces necessary. They have not made a move there. It's still really just Ladd McConkey. Right? They were thought of to be in the running for DK Metcalf. Maybe Devontae Adams. Didn't bring either guy in. You would think it's a position of need in the NFL draft, but still, I'm not sure that gap is all that close. And until it changes, Mahomes has had Herbert's number. Mahomes has had Bo Nix's number now. Mahomes has had the Broncos' number. And of course, the Raiders there at the bottom of the division as well. I am surprised it is only minus 150 on Kansas City.
Well, I think the minus 150 is more Harbaugh than it is anything else, right? I mean, wouldn't you think that it's like, okay, year two with Harbaugh has to be better, right? Over exceed, just like Peyton now. Peyton in year three, it's like, okay, we got, you know, we're on a fast track to potentially challenging or closing the gap. But when you look at it, it's like, okay, what do we really have? What's the offensive identity? And do we have enough to consistently challenge and duel Andy Reid and Pat Mahomes? And I just can't make that bet right now. That's the biggest thing. And what's the identity of LA? Are they a running team now with Najee? Or are they a 5 wide with Justin Herbert? I still don't know.
Last year to start, more running, then at the end, more passing with Justin Herbert. We'll see what 2025 has in store. More around the divisional odds and some more news around the National Football League coming your way up next on FFC.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
Live right here on Football Full Circle, it is FFC. So we go around the AFC, some more divisional prices to hit on, and then turn our attention to the NFC as well. Lisi got AFC East, the Buffalo Bills, a minus 220 favorite to win the division for a sixth consecutive season. Last year, though, Buffalo did not close in the preseason as that favorite. It was the New York Jets, of course, with the odds optimism and Aaron Rodgers. Buffalo ended up winning the division for a fifth consecutive year. But Lisi, when you look at the rest of the division now, everybody has kind of taken a step back. The Dolphins not nearly as optimistic as once before. Of course, the Jets in yet another rebuild, or the Patriots are getting better, but not really seen as a divisional contender. Is there anything you believe, Lisi guy, that keeps Josh Allen and the Bills from winning division title six in a row in the AFC East?
No, I mean, again, right here, right now, I would not bet on anybody outside of Buffalo to win the division. Yep. The reason why I say that is you want to take a look at the two teams potentially in the mix in the Miami Dolphins and New York Jets, and the Dolphins never step up against a better offense and defensive lines. They can't stop it from any lethal offense when the chips are in the middle of the table from a defensive perspective, including the moves that they made. They lost some of their top talent over the past couple of seasons, and including Xavier Howard. And at the end of the day, for me, I just can't bet on Tua to stay healthy. I mean, that's a real risk when you look at this team, right? They have playmakers. It's like almost like a glass house. If everything goes well, yes, they're okay, and potentially it's good at plus money. But they're one rock away from the whole house of crashing down, and Mike McDaniel being the first coach fired in 2025. I will say this. As much as I wouldn't bet on the Jets to steal the division, I've said this time and time again, and I'm going out on a limb maybe, but I'm backing it up. I think the Jets will overexceed expectations. When they put out a make playoffs bet, I'm willing to bet on Justin Fields and that young team now that the cancer is gone in terms of Aaron Rodgers. I believe in Justin Fields to be a winner, and will this team to potentially 9 wins. Does that mean they'll steal the AFC East? Absolutely not. But I do believe they get over their win total and overexceed in 1 year with Aaron Glenn at the helm. All right. So, so Ben dealing with some technical difficulties. And we talk about the New York Jets. We talk about Aaron Glenn, their first year head coach. Prior to this, I think I was negative on Aaron Glenn and the New York Jets organization because of how they handled the situation with Aaron Rodgers, because they did get Devontae Adams in there. And people might say, well, that was a great addition to that team. Not when they signed Devontae Adams. He was a cancer to that organization because it was Aaron Rodgers and Devontae Adams and everybody else. Now, with an opportunity to really mentor the young talent, Aaron Glenn, a first-year head coach, Justin Fields still a winning quarterback, paired with Garrett Wilson, Ben, I think it's going to be great. And I'll say it, I think they overexceed expectations. 9 wins, not good enough to win the AFC East, but certainly be a wild card contender in 2025.
13-1, longest price of the four, for Gangrene to win the AFC East. So maybe you stay away from that one, but sounds like some plus money. Alternate win totals, playoff numbers that Joe Lisi will be targeting when those numbers come out later this offseason. Lisi guy, AFC South is compelling. The Texans have now won the division for 2 straight years. They are booked as a favorite entering year number 3 under C.J. Stroud and D'Amico Ryans. They are rightfully so, in my estimation, booked as the favorite, but the team only a buck behind them, that would be the Jacksonville Jaguars at plus 240. New head coach in Liam Cohen. Can he unlock Trevor Lawrence now in year number 5? What do you make of the AFC South and those two best numbers?
I mean, I believe Liam Cohen is going to be an upgrade for that offense. I think he will be able to get the most out of Trevor Lawrence. And I said it to you during the offseason, right, leading up to this after the Super Bowl. I thought it was one of the most, you know, appealing, you know, jobs out there because of the young talent, right? Because of Tank Bigsby, because of what you had in terms of Travis Etienne, because of the young quarterback in Trevor Lawrence, because you had some playmakers, and obviously Brian Thomas Jr., but Parker Washington and those young wide receivers, I thought they could coach them up. So again, if we're talking right here, right now, yes, it's still Houston to me, Ben, but I'm willing to take a shot with Liam Cohen. I mean, what he was able to do with Tampa Bay and Baker Mayfield and really elevate that offense to the next level, the emergence of Bucky Irvin, I think they're going to be right there. I mean, I don't think they're going to be out of the woods. I don't see this team as being a 6 or 7-win football team. I think they could be in the area 10 or 11 wins.
Yeah, I would agree, Joe. I really look at this Jacksonville Jaguars team as giving the Texans a test in the AFC South. I think they have had a great offseason. I'm excited to see Trevor Lawrence and Liam Cohen's offensive system. We'll see about the rest that they have out there. A couple of changing faces, of course, in the wide receiver room. Christian Kirk is gone. Evan Engram is gone. But Brian Thomas Jr., a sensational rookie season. Now let's head over to the NFC, the divisional favorites in our four divisions. No surprise, the reigning Super Bowl champs in the Eagles, minus 170 to win the NFC East. The Lions, for a third straight year, booked as a favorite in the NFC North, plus 110. The Bucks, who have won the NFC South for four straight seasons, plus 150 in that division as the favorite. In the 49ers, Joe, plus 125, the favorites in the NFC West. I would say both you and I like the Rams number, then at plus 230, but it's not overly shocking knowing that the odds makers have loved San Francisco to have the Niners as the favorites.
Yeah, can't bet that number, though. I just can't because, again, the unknown. Now there's, you know, there's some talk that potentially Brandon Ayuk might be on the move, maybe in a trade value to the New England Patriots. We've heard about those rumblings potentially. Here's the thing. The unknown, right? What does Ayuk come back and give you? What does Christian McCaffrey come back and give you? Are they the same players that they were prior to the injuries? Are they 100%? Are we expecting this team to just bounce back and say, yeah, we could walk out there and potentially win 11 or 12 games and win the NFC West in terms of dominance? I don't think so. I mean, outside of Seattle, that has some question marks on the offensive side of the ball at the wide receiver position, I think Arizona's going to be better with Kyler Murray and Marvin Harrison and Trey McBride and Connor in that offense. Obviously, now the addition of Devontae Adams and the LA Rams. I mean, it's not easy for the 49ers to now just walk through the NFC West. So my money would be on the Rams. But I said this the other day, the 20-1 number to potentially win the NFC championship on Arizona is sort of intriguing because of the playmakers that I know it's Kyler, but I think Gannon has done a pretty good job and they have a nice foundation offensively and defensively where if they start fast to start the year, that 20-1 number might not be there come mid-October or November, Ben.
Leesy guy, everybody in the NFC West is at shorter than 5-1, along with the NFC South, where everybody is also 5-1, but for a different case, which is rather compact, separated by just $3.50. It is a division that is going to be very compelling. NFC North, everybody at 5-1 or shorter as well. Again, Joe, I think the value is on the Rams. I am not optimistic in the Niners as the offseason odds are. In the last 6 years, though, three divisional titles for San Francisco. NFC South really stands out to me. Plus 150 on the Buccaneers, a team that has won this division now four straight seasons in multiple different iterations. Tom Brady at his best. Tom Brady at his worst with a losing record. Baker Mayfield unknown. Baker Mayfield as the reigning divisional champ. I think that plus 150 price is not really taken into account how strong Tampa is. We'll talk the NFC South. If anybody can give the Buccaneers a run for their money on the other side of the break and then break down the rest of the NFC as well. We'll do that next here on Football Full Circle. Come back and join us on Sports Grid Radio.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
Live right here on Football Full Circle. It is FFC. He's Joe Lisi. I am Ben Stevens. Joe, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, plus 150 price to win the NFC South. It is the shortest number, but the Bucs have won the NFC South four straight seasons. I expected this number to have the Bucs as the favorite, but closer to even money, maybe even slight minus money. Only 45 cents, less than a half dollar in front of the Atlanta Falcons. Joe, does it feel like fair pricing atop the NFC South, or would you make the Buccaneers a stronger favorite in the division as well?
Personally, I would. And it just comes down to which quarterback do you believe and coach do you believe in most. And, you know, I was very critical of Todd Bowles when he took over for Bruce Arians, but all he does is win, and he's got a quarterback that, you know, can go toe-to-toe with any of the best quarterbacks in the NFC, and that's Baker Mayfield. We talk about the productivity, and I understand Godwin and Evans are a little bit older, but they have a rising star at the running back position in terms of Bucky Irvin. They have one of the most prolific rushing attacks in all of the NFL last year. You look at 2 years ago, they were almost dead last at 89 rushing yards per game. They were well over 125 rushing yards per game last year. They provided balance. They could wear down teams. And that defense, at the end of the regular season, really started to come into form. Again, this is a division that the books just love to sell Tampa Bay and buy everybody else, including, you know, the gutless Atlanta Falcons and Raheem Morris, because of the team, right? We have a bunch of playmakers, Bijan, Drake London, Kyle Pitts. We still have Kirk Cousins on the roster up until this point. So it's just like they have to be good. No, they don't. They don't have to be good. They're a losing organization with Arthur Blank that hasn't made any solid move over the past three or four seasons. They haven't utilized their playmakers correctly. And there's no guarantee, even though I love Michael Penix, that this team is going to be above 8 wins this year.
Joe, even if Michael Penix Jr. is good, and offensively they have all those pieces, I don't really care. It should be the Buccaneers, and I'll take a plus 150 price on Tampa because that number should be shorter or stronger in favor of the Buccaneers in my estimation. I do think the Panthers might make some noise, a 5-1 price, but kind of like your case, Joe, for the Jets in the AFC East, and that's a 13-1 number with not nearly as strong as a favorite in the NFC South. I might look for the Panthers in other ways around those betting odds later in the offseason. NFC East, Lisa Guy, the Eagles, the reigning champs, of course, a minus 170 favorite. Now, the Commanders, a great football team a year ago, 11 wins, NFC championship game appearance, and maybe even the Cowboys, as they get back to at least their standard of success in the regular season, should challenge. But there is also the longstanding trend around the NFC East. We have not seen a repeat champion in this division since 2004. That is two decades, 20 years of a trend now. Is it going to be bucked in 2025?
I don't know. I mean, you know, here's the thing. The Eagles are the best, the best team, right? Hands down. Do I want to believe that Jaden Daniels and that team in Washington now with Debo and, you know, Tunsil, you know, could elevate? Yes. But if I had a bet right here, right now, I would bet that the Eagles would be repeat, you know, champions for the first time since 04. I can't go against that defense. That defense is young. They're hungry. Vic Fangio was a huge asset to that team. And even though they're going to lose Kellen Moore to the New Orleans Saints, I love Jalen Hurts. The kid's a winner. Saquon Barr. I mean, the list goes on. I mean, Ben, I said this to Wetzel yesterday. You know, yes, Jaden Daniels has huge upside, but the Dallas Cowboys have no shot to compete. I'm sorry. I know that on paper they look good. This team is going to be gutless. There's no guarantee that that defense is going to be a stitch better than what they were last year. And in that regard, you know, it's Philly or bust for me. I'm still betting on Philadelphia, even though the trend is against them. This is the one team I told you that's like the Kansas City Chiefs. If you give me a market for them to three-peat, I might take that opportunity.
It is such a funny trend, right? Because we have seen very successful teams year over year in this division, and yet they just can't win it for a second consecutive. But you would think if anybody had the makeup of doing so, it would be the Super Bowl champion Philadelphia Eagles. Each year has its own set of circumstances. Each year is different. Teams are different. Coaches are different. All of that. And yet, for whatever reason, in the NFC East, we have not seen that back-to-back winner for two decades. I'll just say this on the Cowboys. I wouldn't bet Lisi's money on Dallas to do anything in the postseason. But with regular season success, it's what Dallas has done. You even look at the five-year sample size under Mike McCarthy. Bookends of that five-year window. His first in 2020, last year in 2024, Dak Prescott was not fully healthy, did not play a full year. The Cowboys had double-digit losses. But the 3 years in between, the Cowboys had exactly 12 regular season wins and did win the NFC East two of those 3 seasons. Lisi Guy, of course, the NFC North was one of the best, if not the best, divisions in football last year. 3 of the 4 teams into the postseason, 3 of the 4 teams with at least 11 wins. The Lions won the division for a second consecutive year, booked as the favorite this year. The Packers are supposed to rival them atop the NFC North again. And then a couple of changing pieces, perhaps. The Bears have had a great offseason with a new head coach in Ben Johnson. The Vikings almost feeling like they're taking a step back from Sam Darnold because they're trusting J.J. McCarthy, who was really about to have his de facto rookie campaign. What do you make of the NFC North entering next season?
Yeah, I don't know if Detroit's just going to run away with it because of those coordinators, right? We saw Philadelphia race out to a 10-1 overall record with new coordinators, Brian Johnson and Matt Patricia and the host of other defensive staff that were there, and they never lived up to expectations in the second half of the season. I don't know if Detroit, now with the bullseye on their back yet again in a very competitive NFC North with new coordinators, is going to be as dominant offensively and defensively. So for me, I would take a shot on Green Bay to rebound. The fact that Jordan Love was banged up for much of the regular season in and out of that lineup, Josh Jacobs now another year with the offensive scheme, and hopefully those wide receivers develop. I think the value is on Green Bay out of the North, Ben.
A plus 240 price on the Packers. Longest number in the division is the Bears, but only at 5-1. They're using the studio for some interviews. Joe Lisi takes you home on the other side of the break. It's just the reality here on Football Full Circle.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
All right, back on Football Full Circle. Ben and I, Ben will be on tomorrow afternoon for Football Full Circle from 12 to noon. We'll get you set and updated on the conference championships odds. We talked about it yesterday, the prop bets for the quarterbacks. There's a couple of prop bets up for the receivers this year. Up on FanDuel, they do have Devontae Adams listed for the LA Rams, and they do have DK Metcalf, both the same number, 925.5 yards. You look at Devontae Adams and the productivity with Aaron Rodgers towards the end of the year, now in implemented in the offense with Puka Nacua and Matt Stafford, 925.5 seems like a doable number. I mean, it's minus 114 either way. You have Kyren Williams and the rushing attack, a balanced offense, but you got to believe Devontae Adams, the way he played towards the end of the regular season, and especially in two games in particular. You look at the game against Jacksonville, you look at the game at the end of the regular season against the Buffalo Bills, you got to believe that Devontae Adams with Matt Stafford can put up those 925 receiving yards this year. DK Metcalf is interesting. If you told me that it's Aaron Rodgers, or you told me that it's going to be a veteran quarterback, I would say potentially yes, the 925.5 is potentially within the realm of possibility. But right here, right now, mid-March, not knowing if Aaron Rodgers is going to be the quarterback under center next year, knowing that there isn't a contingency plan for the Pittsburgh Steelers, it's Mason Rudolph, right now, I might sell this 925.5 for DK Metcalf. You know that George Pickens is in the lineup. You know that Arthur Smith and that team as a whole have had an identity problem, even when Russell Wilson was instilled as the starter, right? The first couple of games that Russell Wilson started on behalf of Justin Fields, he did throw for well over 250 yards. Those were against wins against the New York Jets and the New York Giants, respectively. Those were in terms of just mediocre, bad defenses. And then towards the end of the regular season against above average defenses and against playoff competition, Russell Wilson only threw for 174 passing yards per game over the last 6 weeks of the regular season and playoffs. Is that going to be the identity, even though DK Metcalf and George Pickens are in the lineup? The hope for the Pittsburgh Steelers is that you're going to open up the offense. But if you don't have a playmaker at the quarterback position that can challenge defenses over the top, and Aaron Rodgers doesn't decide to be the quarterback for 2025, and you're relying on potentially Mason Rudolph or another free agent signing, I would sell this number right here, right now. There's no guarantee that DK Metcalf in this offense is going to put up those type of numbers, sharing time or splitting the football with George Pickens. So that would be a bet that I would keep an eye out on, depending upon the decision for Aaron Rodgers to make this bet in March. A couple of others we went through, player futures. Saquon Barkley, his numbers are up. We talked about the quarterbacks as it relates to passing yardage yesterday with Scott. They do have quarterbacks to throw for 30 and 40 plus touchdowns this year. You look at it right now, what's interesting is that Joe Burrow is not on the list. They have Lamar Jackson, Pat Mahomes, Josh Allen, Sam Darnold, Jalen Hurts. Jalen Hurts to throw 30 touchdown passes is 5-1. Sam Darnold is plus 490. Josh Allen plus 135. Pat Mahomes plus 120, down from 130. He was about 130, 135 at the start of the week. And Lamar Jackson, even money at plus 100. 35 touchdown passes has Jalen Hurts at a 13-1 number, Josh Allen at plus 410, and Sam Darnold at 12-1. Now, when Scott and I talked about the quarterback props, if you're banking on Sam Darnold to duplicate what he had last year for Minnesota, 36-plus touchdown passes, that's a 12-1 number. But his season-long touchdown prop is only 20.5, and it's juiced to the under. So that is a significant drop-off in terms of about 15 touchdown passes from where the book is assessing Sam Darnold in the Seattle offense with JSN. So I wouldn't make that bet right here, right now. Jalen Hurts is the player you got to keep an eye out on, and Josh Allen, to me, now with Josh Palmer involved in that offense, you do have two above-average tight ends in Kincaid and Knox, and you do have Khalil Shakir. We'll see you tomorrow on Football Full Circle. For Ben Stevens, Danny Ohlers, I'm Lisi. Have a great day, everyone.